But I really struggled with the topic that God gave me today because I really didn't feel like I had enough experience to talk about it. And I tried to get away from it. I tried to do something else, but God kept saying, no, we're going to talk about this today. So I gave in and let Him do it. But He told me that I need to rely on my 6 years of youth ministry experience. I've had countless parents come to me and come to visit me in my office and say, you know, my teenager, they've gone crazy. I don't understand what's going on. They've lost their minds. I don't know what's going on with them. And the same, I had teenagers come visit me and say, my parents, I don't know what's going on with them. They've gone stupid. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand what's going on. And so, you know, I get to see kind of both sides of the coin in that. And, you know, I've become a student of youth culture. What else? Not a very good student, huh? But, you know, youth behavior, you know, growth patterns as far as spiritual growth patterns. And, you know, most of us remember being teenagers at one time. And, you know, it's a hard time. I mean, being a teenager really is a hard time, being kids and teenagers and growing up and trying to figure the world out. Hey, has anybody got the world figured out yet? If you do, write a book, make millions of dollars, tithe, it'd be great. But lots of things are happening in your kids' lives. I mean, you have growing pains. You know, they're growing physically. They have hormones going through their body. Relationships are changing. Their bodies are changing. The opposite sex's bodies are changing, and you notice it, and you like it. You have the desire to experience life outside of your family. This is a big one that teenagers do. They want to experience life outside of what mom and dad have. You have all these irrational thoughts flying through your head at a million miles an hour. And, you know, the list could go on and on and on. And so the title of today's message is Connecting Church and Home. Connecting Church and Home. Now, there's lots of startling statistics out there about teenagers. Now, I'm not a big stat guy. Number one, I took the class in college and I really didn't like it. But anybody ever take stats in college? A few of y'all did not like it. But I'm 95% confident that I don't like that class. I used to know how to figure that up, but I don't anymore. Anyway, but a lot of stats are very misleading. They're very misused. They don't really represent exactly what's going on in life. I mean, we hear stats all the time about stuff, and you're like, man, that's crazy. And people use them as scare tactics a lot of times. I watched a lot of Christian stuff, and we actually watched a DVD series here one time in one of our small groups. And this guy, he was a stat guy, and he would say one of these startling stats, and he'd go, you know, waiting for the reaction of the crowd. You know, 90% of people are going to hell. You know, it was just kind of funny. Some of y'all remember that video. We made a comment about it. It was funny. But anyway, the stat that I'm talking about is the percentage of teenagers that are walking away from church and their faith after they graduate high school. Now, like I said, you know, stats lots of times are misleading and misused and all this stuff. And I actually researched this, and I found about 6 different stats on this one thing. It's pretty crazy. I read 50% of teenagers are leaving their faith in church after they graduate high school. I read 66%, 70%, 82%, and 88%. I don't know which one is true, but one of those is probably somewhere in there. I think the higher the percentage, the more scare tactic you can get out of it. You know, 88% of teenagers walk away from their faith after they graduate high school. You know, it's one of those that really punches you. And you're like, ooh, you know, what are we going to do? But anyway, I don't know which stat is right. I don't know the number. You know, nobody's ever going to know. But the fact is, there are lots of teenagers that grow up in church that after they graduate high school, they never go to church again. And that's very scary. I mean, that is something that is serious. And you know, at first when I heard this ad, I was like, you know, in my experience, I really don't see that. But, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for 6 years, and it's pretty accurate. I mean, there's kids that grew up in this church, you know, including myself. When I graduated high school, I didn't want to go to church anymore. I went to college, and for the first semester of college, I thought, I'm not going to church. No, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go, you know, experience the world. Well, within 6 months, I was back in church, but because I had that strong foundation in me. But, you know, it's true, you know, there's lots of kids that walk away from the church and their faith when they graduate high school. And, you know, in the youth ministry world, we took, you know, we've been hard on ourselves about this because we're the last ones that see these teenagers before they go to high school. And we blame ourselves for this. You know, what are we doing wrong? What can we do different? And which that's a good thing that we're, you know, kind of evaluating ourselves, saying, what can we do different to change this stat? But, you know, it's not really our fault. A lot of people will blame the church, saying the church is just not relevant to that age. You know, they're at the age of, you know, exploring things, and they're just not relevant. They just don't speak to that age. A lot of people blame parents, saying they just don't talk about enough about God at home. A lot of people blame youth ministry. You know, they just, you know, youth ministry does not produce disciples. You know, they don't produce true disciples. They're just back there having fun and listening to loud music and playing games. You know, that's all they do. And, you know, my question is, whose fault is it? You want me to tell you? I don't know. Nobody will ever know whose fault it is. And it really doesn't matter where the blame falls. We just need to team up as church and as family, as home. Team up together to fix the problem. Because I believe that the family is the strongest institution in the world. The family is the strongest thing in the world. Church is number two. And when we combine those two, begin to teach our kids and show our kids what it truly means to love God and let God love you back, then I believe this stat would change. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about stats all day. You know, that's boring stuff. Took the class, didn't like it, so I'm not going to bore you with it. So, the problem is we need to fix this problem. But this church works hard to bring a relevant message every single week that'll change your life today. Now, we strive to make it real in your life, something that you can apply to yourself and that will change you today. You know, sometimes you go to church and you listen to this hour-long message and you walk away thinking, what did he talk about? I mean, what did he even say? You know, and something like that, I mean, is just horrible to me. Because basically you wasted an hour if you walk away with nothing. So that's one of the things that this church strives for, is to bring relevant messages that you can take, you can evaluate yourself and change and make your life better today. I know in our kids and youth ministry, we strive to build true disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, we're just not in there playing games and bumping loud music. On Wednesday nights, you probably hear it bumping from back here. Sunday mornings, you hear it bumping from over here, you know, the loud music. You're thinking, what are those kids doing over there? You know, they're not just doing that just to fill time. But we're doing it to reach into their lives and be relevant to them and show them what it means to truly serve God. And it's not all fun and games. Yes, we have a lot of fun. Yes, we play games. But we teach them the Word of God. And we give them a chance to experience God in a real way. So my challenge to you today is, you, as a parent, as a grandparent, are you willing to step up and be the spiritual leader of your home that God has called you to be? Now see, this is where I feel that I don't have enough experience to talk about this, because I'm not a parent. I'm a parent-to-be. Very soon I will have a baby, but I have not experienced parenthood yet. But, you know, I believe that God can use me to challenge you today to be the spiritual leader of your house that God has called you to be. Because we're working hard here at the church, and we want you to be working hard at home. And I know together that we can build strong kids that'll be excited about God. That's what I love about church camp. These kids come back from church camp. Man, they're all pumped up. They want to worship God. They want to tell their friends about God. And this is the stuff we're talking about. They've experienced God. They've heard the Word of God. They've got it in their lives, and they've experienced God. And and they want to go tell the world. They're excited about it. How many of us can truly say that we're excited about our relationship with God? I mean, there's lots of times in my life that saying, I'm not excited about it at all. It's just something I do. And that's sad that we come to that spot in our lives where we're not excited about how God radically changed our lives. It made our lives so much better. I mean, we were going to hell. And we had an experience with God, and we got into the Word of God, and it changed our lives. Our lives are so much better now. And we were excited at one time, but it kind of went away. And now we just kind of go through life. I know I'm talking from experience on this, because I've done this so many times. Parents have been and always will be the number one influencer in their kid's life. No matter how old your kid gets, you will always be the number one influence in your kid's life. My parents are still one of the biggest influences in my life today. And lots of times, you know, especially when you get in the teenage years, you get labeled as the stupid parents, and you know, you think you don't have any say into your kid's life anymore. But behind that hard exterior, they still look to you as the number one influencer. They listen to the things you say. They truly do listen to you. Even when they got their headphones on and playing games and, you know, all that stuff, they still listen to you. I can't tell you how many times me and my dad are driving down the road. Lots of times, me and my dad are hunting buddies. We've always hunted together. I mean, as long as I was old enough to hold a gun up and shoot it without it knocking me backwards, that's happened a few times. But as long as I've been able to shoot a gun, we've always gone hunting together. And that was one of the things that me and my dad had in common. None of my other brothers cared about hunting. They went a few times, but you know, they didn't care anything about it. They didn't like the cold. You know, I don't like the cold either, but you know, I enjoy nature. I'm a nature person. But I can't tell you how many times driving down the road, going to the deer woods, my dad would, you know, have a little talk with me about something. You know, I mean, there's no telling how many times my dad, we're just sitting there driving down the road listening to music or something. He said, "You know what, son? You know, I was a virgin when I got married. My dad was a virgin when he got married. His dad was a virgin when he got married. I expect the same thing from you." Simple, easy, and it had an impact on my life. Because you know what? I was a virgin when I got married too. Because of what my dad said to me. I mean, you have such an impact in your kids' lives and you don't even realize it. Take the opportunity to invest in your kids' lives. But we need to all become part of the process. We need to be on the same team, going for the same goals. You know, I'm not saying that we do our job perfectly here. I'm not saying that we always produce these great, you know, disciples of Jesus and they're going to be strong all their lives. And no, it doesn't happen. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. But we need to look past all the imperfections and strive for the same goal for our kids. Now, one thing that I've noticed is that our the way we educate our kids kind of falls short. Oh, good water. But the way we educate our kids, lots of times it falls short. Let me give you an example. What is 2 + 2? These are not trick questions, by the way. So you don't have to really, stop and think about it. I'm not trying to trick you. 2 + 2 is 4 × 4 is 16 divided by 16 is, ooh, you are good. How do we know this? How do we know that these answers are correct? We went to school. Teachers taught us this stuff. All right, let me ask you another one. When was the Declaration of Independence signed? July 4th, 1776. How do we know that? It's a fact. We can go to the history books, read about it. We know it as fact. All right, let me ask you one more. How do we know that God loves us? How do we know that God loves us? Well, as kids, we like to teach this little song. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, we teach our young kids that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for you. You know, and you know, we teach that from a very young age. I forgot my other one. Oh yeah, we read it in the Bible too. Sometimes my mind just kind of goes off. Got to come back. We read it in the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loves the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The Bible tells us that God is love, that He loves us, that He cares about us. He gave His one and only Son for us. We know that as a fact, right? So how can we have so many kids walking away knowing that God loves them and that He can change your life? Why? Is knowledge enough? Is knowledge enough? I have to say no. So how do we truly know that God loves us? We have to experience it. Now this can get on some tricky ground when you start talking about experience. Because lots of people have lots of experiences. But how do I know God truly loves me and cares about me? Number one, I read it in the Bible. The Bible tells me that God loves me and that He cares for me. He gave His Son for me. Number two, I've experienced it. I have experienced God's love in my life. And no one will ever talk me out of my faith because of those two things. Knowledge is not enough. There has to be some kind of experience that kids have an encounter with God to where it truly changes their life. Just think back in the things that you've learned in your life. How much of what you remember from school or from life that you've experienced and not just heard about? It's when we experience something, that's when it truly sticks with us. When we experience it. You know, that's what I love about going to museums and stuff. See, it's one of my dreams to go to the Smithsonian. I mean, I don't know why. It's just been like this new thing that I want to go to museums. I mean, I've never liked museums. It's the nerdy dad thing, I guess we were talking about earlier. But I want to go to the Smithsonian because there's so many cool stuff there. And a lot of it's like hands-on stuff to where you can try things out. When we went to camp this summer up in Missouri, we went and did a work day at this creationism museum. And we went up there and kind of cleaned up some walking paths and, you know, different stuff around the place. And afterwards, we got to go in. And everything was hands-on, you know, which I love hands-on things. You know, they had one of those electric balls where you touch it and your hair goes up. Anybody ever touch one of those? Those are so cool. So cool. And, like, everything was interactive and you could touch it and you experience it. And it's those things that you remember when you experience it for yourself. We need to help our kids to experience God and not just teach them about God. So much of our educational system is giving information, sticking it on the shelf. We know that 2 + 2 = 4 because someone told us. We put it on the shelf, we remember it. We memorized it. So many times we want our kids to memorize the Bible. That's wonderful. I mean, it's absolutely necessary. But we have to go beyond memorizing the Bible and just telling them about it. We need to create opportunities where they can experience it for themselves. Again, that's why I love church camp. You know, I know back in children's church, they have opportunities to experience God. That's one thing that we really talk about back in U-Turn is experiencing God, creating a situation to where you can have an encounter with the living God. And it's in those times that your life is changed. And it's those times that really stick in you when you're struggling, when you're going through hard times. You remember back when you experienced God. And that experience lines up with the Word of God. And you think, man, this is real. This is the real thing. I know because I've experienced it. I've experienced it. The Bible says it like this. I got different kind of notes today. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I can't read my own notes. But the Bible says it like this. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. When you experience God's word, it sticks with you. I mean, there's so many times that, especially in my college years, that I've had to trust in God. You know, you get going along and you have to pay the bills. You know, some of you teenagers are about to experience paying bills. It's fun. You know, you got the rent to pay. You got the electric. You got the gas. You got the phone bill if you want that. And cable, you know, that's necessary cable, right? Everybody's got to have cable. You got all these bills that you have to pay. And you go to work and you work hard. And you get home and you're like, I didn't make enough money this week. And there's so many times that's happened to me and I had to trust in God. You know, when we put our faith in God, He always takes care of us. He tells me that if I put Him first in my life, says it in Matthew, says, put God first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you. Right before that, it talks about, you know, why do you ask, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Where are you going to live? What clothes are you going to put on? It says, why do you worry about these things? It says, when you put God first in your life, He's going to take care of you. The Bible tells me when I give money, when I tithe, He said, bring your tithe into the storehouse or into the church. He said, improve me on this. He says, I will pour out a blessing which you can't even receive. And I've been faithful and I'd give my tithes. I said, God, my bills, my checkbook, it doesn't line up. I've been paying my tithe. God, I know you're going to step up and you're going to take care of me. And He did every single time. God has never ever failed me. I could tell you more stories, but we don't have enough time. And we need a clock in here. 15 minutes. Hey, I got plenty of time. All right. The Bible also says, faith without works is dead. James 2:20. Faith without works is dead. If you don't do the Word of God, then your faith is worthless. All right. So we must have knowledge and experience. What do you have when you have knowledge without experience? You have dead faith. You have something that doesn't work. No, dead means it no longer exists, right? It's, you know, it doesn't work. It's, you know, it's worthless, pretty much. So when you have knowledge without experience, when you read God's Word and you know God's Word, but you never do it, you have dead faith. It's not going to work for you. But what happens when you have experience without knowledge? Things get a little fruity then, doesn't it? I've witnessed a lot of fruitiness in the name of God. And, you know, it's out there. I mean, it's not hard to find. But there's people that say, you know, I've had an experience with God and this happened and He told me to do this and all this. And you're like, what? Have you read your Bible? I mean, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't say that kind of stuff. He doesn't tell you to go kill somebody. I mean, it doesn't happen. No, we have to have knowledge and experience in order for our lives to be changed. Let me make a bold statement real quick. A lot of kids don't trust God's unconditional love and acceptance because they've never experienced it at church or at home. Let me say that again. A lot of kids don't trust God's unconditional love and acceptance because they've never experienced it at church or at home. How can we trust in God's love if we've never experienced it? How can that carry us through the hard times if we've never experienced God's love and acceptance in our life? You can't do it. You can't do it. Guys, we must live the gospel out in front of our kids. As a church, we must live the gospel out in front of your kids. At home, you need to live the gospel out in front of your kids. Let me tell you something about kids. They're smart. They see through a lot of baloney. I was trying to keep it clean. Some other words came up, but I went with baloney. Kids can see through our baloney. See through our mess, our lies. They're smart. They know when you're not being real. They know it. They see it. And you know what they do? They do what you do instead of what you say. They lead by your example. They lead by our example. That's one thing that I try my best to do, is to live the gospel all the time, especially when I'm in front of teenagers. No matter what, if they go to our church or not. I try to live the gospel in my life because I don't want anybody to say, well, I saw you do this, and so I'm not going to trust God. I think that you're fake, and God's a fake, and I don't want to trust Him because of what you did. I don't want to be in that position. You know, some people are so interested in their rights. You know, I have a right to do that. You know, I have a right to do this. You know, it's okay to cuss. It's okay to, you know, do whatever. But let me tell you something. What would happen if I went into the back room after service and I cuss somebody out and your kid walks in and sees that? What do you think's going to happen? You think that kid's ever going to listen to me again? No. Guys, we've got to be careful about how we live our lives in front of our kids. Not just in front of our kids, but all the time, because they can see through your baloney. I'm going to stick with baloney because that's good. But a lot of kids have the knowledge of God's love, but they have never experienced it. Thus, they conclude that God is not real. They hear that God loves them and God's accepting them, but they never experience it, so they say it's not real. So here, how are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish this huge task of moving our kids in the right direction? How are we going to do it? I don't know. But let me give you some few things that I like to tell our youth workers when we're, you know, talking and stuff. And let me just give you a little bit of advice that I give my youth workers to help connect with kids and teenagers. Number one, I got three things. Number one, be real. Be real. Like I said, they see through your baloney anyway. They know when you're lying. They know when you're not being honest. So just be real. You know, Jesus never put on a show for anybody. You know, He never faked anything. I mean, He was honest and real. Even when it hurt the person He was talking to, He was still real. I mean, not physically like hurt somebody or emotionally. But I mean, He was blunt. He was honest. You know, he had a rich guy come up to him one time and said, "No, how do I inherit the kingdom of God?" He says, "Well, you know," named off some of the commandments, "you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "Master, I've done this for my youth." He said, "Well, you're missing one thing." He said, "You need to sell all that you have and follow me." And that guy turned around and walked away because he had a lot of stuff. The stuff had him. He was so engrossed in his stuff that he couldn't give it up for God. But I mean, he was just straight up honest with the guy. He said, "This is what you need to do." You know, he didn't, you know, walk around it. You know, he didn't hem-haw or anything. He just said, "This is what you got to do, man." And the guy didn't like it and he left. But we need to be real. You know, even in our faults, we need to be real. Because we know that we're not perfect. Your kids might still think you're perfect. I don't know. But eventually they're going to find out you're not. And you need to be real about that. You know, one of the biggest things that I remember growing up is one time, you know, my dad did something. I knew he was wrong. I knew he was off. And he came and he apologized to me for being wrong. What kind of impact do you think that had on me? My dad admitted he was wrong to me. That had a huge impact on my life. He was real and he was open and honest with me. Because I knew he was wrong anyway. And if he wouldn't have come and apologized, I might have held something against him because he wasn't honest. He wasn't real with me. And you know, I might have followed that pattern in my life. Kids follow what we do, not what we say. Be real about your fault. Admit when you're wrong. Apologize to your kids. Your kids will respect you for it. They will. So number one, be real. Number two, always, I think my youth workers are tired of hearing this, always be building relationships. Anytime you're around teenagers, build relationships. Anytime you're around your kids, build that relationship with them. You know, God constantly strives to build a relationship with us. He's constantly looking for times to when, you know, He can do something for us and He can build that relationship stronger with us. We need to constantly be doing that for our kids. Get into their world. Your teenagers live in a different world than you do. Your kids live in a different world than you do. They have different interests. They have different things that they like to do. Get into their world. Spend time with them doing what they like to do. Spend time doing what they like to do. You know, talk to them about it. You know, you guys have some pretty awesome kids. You guys have some pretty awesome teenagers. I love coming here on Wednesday nights and hanging out with teenagers and kids because these guys are amazing. I mean, they're smart, they're talented. I mean, they have amazing stories to tell. I mean, real creative. How well do you know your kid? How well do you know what your kids like, what they do, what they're interested in? How well do you know them? Here's a fun one for you. Listen to their music and talk to them about it rationally without yelling and screaming and condemning. Listen to their music. You know, so many parents say, you know, turn down that mess. What are you listening to that for? That's horrible. You know, why not sit down and, you know, listen to the music, get out the lyrics, read the lyrics with them, talk to them about it. You know, say, hey, you know, why do you like this song? I mean, what in this song speaks to you? You'll find out a lot about your kids, about what music they listen to. You know, maybe what they're struggling with in life, maybe what they identify with. You can find out a lot about your kids, about what they listen to and what they do. Because a lot of kids these days are very artistic. I'm not an artistic person. I'm more of a concrete, you know, this is the way we're going to do it. Let's do five steps to do this, you know. That's my kind of thinking. But kids are very artistic. They like to express themselves in, you know, in different ways, metaphorically. I don't understand metaphors. They just don't get it. But anyway, show interest in your kids. Don't condemn them. Aren't you glad God didn't condemn you? Oh, I love this stuff. It's great. Treat your kids with respect. All right, number one, be real. Number two, always build relationships. And number three, this is a tough one, accept them no matter what. Accept them no matter what. Just remember God's unconditional love for you. He accepts you no matter what. We need to accept our kids no matter what. You know, one time we were back in U-Turn, and we talk about this, you know, no matter what a kid looks like when they walk in the door, you know, we need to accept them, we need to love them, we don't need to judge them. And I was talking about this one week in the service. And you know, we usually have the lights down and, you know, the big spotlights, you know, the big stage lights on me, so I really can't see a whole lot. And I said something about, you know, even if they have blue hair and earrings and all this stuff, you know, we got to accept them, we got to love them. You know, we just got to love them. And after the service, when they turned on the lights, there's a kid with blue hair sitting back there. I thought, well, okay. But you know what? That kid came for a long time. And he was resistant to the gospel. He said he'd been to many churches and been kicked out of many churches. And his thing was, he just did things to see how you'd react to it. I mean, he would do things, you know, the blue hair, the earrings, he'd wear makeup, you know, just to see people's reaction, just so he'd get a reaction from people. And he got kicked out of a lot of the churches because of some of the stuff we did. He asked me one time, he said, what do I have to do to get kicked out of here? I mean, he didn't ask it just like that. You know, he's kind of asking about the rules and kind of seeing the guidelines and stuff. And I said, man, as long as you don't kill anybody, I mean, we'll probably be pretty cool. You know, just don't come sell drugs or something. You know, I mean, we're pretty easy going. We try to love people. And, you know, he came for a long time. And he searched for a long time a way to get kicked out. And I think, what I think he was doing was trying to find a reason for God to reject him. Because so many churches had kicked him out. And his mom was making him come to church. He was looking for a reason to say, you know, God rejected me, so I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And you know what? No matter what he did, I mean, he didn't do anything outlandish. I mean, he'd come in wearing makeup and had the black eyeliner and, you know, girls' clothes. I don't know. It was nothing just, you know, way out there. But every time he came and said, "Man, I'm glad to see you today. You know, how's your day been going?" And I'd talk to him, and we never kicked him out. We loved him. We accepted him. He doesn't come anymore. But what kind of seed did we plant in his life? He can no longer say that God rejected him, because he came here and he found love. He found acceptance. And you know what? I know that seed's going to stick in him as long as he lives. He will never get away from it. And one day he will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of the seeds that were planted in him. I have no doubt about that. All right, so the three things. Be real. Always be building relationships. Accept them no matter what. Bottom line, we need to team up. We need to be on the same side. You know, we need to push our kid. Well, let me say that different. We don't need to push our kids towards, "You're going to Christ." You know, we don't need to do that. That's not what I'm saying. We need to guide our kids to Christ. We need to give them the Word of God. We need to create opportunities where they can experience God's love and God acceptance. You teach them at home, we teach them here. You live the gospel at home, we live the gospel here. Let me leave you with this last statement. We must live out what we want our kids to become. We must live out what we want our kids to become. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, thank you that you do have unconditional love for us. God, that you accept us in the condition that we're in. God, but we know that you don't want us to stay there. God, but you send your Word, you send your Holy Spirit into our lives to change us from the inside out. God, even if our kids show up with blue hair, God, we know that's just a sign of something that's happening on the inside of them. God, help us to get inside the lives of our kids. Get past the hard exterior, the things that they're throwing at us, and help us to get to know them. God, we realize that we have a generation of kids that are taught every single day that God is not real. They're challenged every single day. God, help us to be the light that you've called us to be. Help us to be that salt in their lives. Help us to be that influence, that godly influence in their lives. So that when they grow up, God, that they will know you. Not just know about you, but they will know you. God, in that, the challenge to us is for us to live out the gospel. God, show us in our lives today where we fall short. We all fall short, God, but show us the things that are keeping our kids from truly knowing and accepting God. God, challenge us today. Don't let us just be lukewarm Christians. God, put us on fire. Set us on fire. Get us excited about our relationship with you. God, because that's number one anyway. God, we just thank you so much that everything you have to offer is so much better than what the world has to offer. God, help us to realize that and be excited. Be excited about helping our kids grow up to serve you. God, we need your help every single day to do this. We know that you're faithful in doing that. We thank you so much, God, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I hope this challenges you, because I know it has challenged me as a youth pastor, as a future dad, to do what I know what's right to do. You know, it's easy to do the wrong thing. It's hard to do the right thing most of the time. And I hope this has challenged you to look inside and say, what do I need to do better? How can I get to know my kids better? How can I get to know my grandkids better? So as you leave today, I just pray that you ponder on that all day long, all week long, that God would just start revealing stuff to you, and that you would be willing to allow God to change you in your life. Thank you guys for coming today. You are dismissed.